Vanya and the Wild Hunt by Sangu Mandana. Read by Safia Ingar.
Chapter 1. A Bookworm Through and Through. The books were talking again, in whispers, all hushed and anxious. My ears pricked up, but only a few words stood out from the rustle of pages and ink, and those words were trouble and danger and warn her, which seemed unnecessarily dramatic for a drippy, dreary Monday morning in May. Trouble and danger were supposed to come on dark and stormy Thursday nights in December, when the moon was no more than a sliver in the sky, and frost had spiderwebbed its way over the window panes. Monday mornings in May, on the other hand, were good for nothing more than grey splutters of rain and soggy lettuce in my sandwiches. I mumbled as much to an incomplete guide to good manners, which happened to be the book propped open under my cheek, but the book only tutted disapprovingly and said,
"You drool in your sleep. Did you know that? Because I can tell you that poor page 152 knows it only too well."
"I'll make it up to you,"
I promised sleepily, too tired to even open my eyes. I'd almost drifted back to sleep, with the rustle of the whispering books in the background, when the voice of the pocket compendium of poisons suddenly rose above the others.
"There's trouble afoot," she hissed, sharp as a paper cut. "Make no mistake, it's almost at our door. We have to warn her."
"That'll just frighten her, dear," came the sweet, gentle voice of Lady Feroz's Encyclopedia of Flowers.
"She should be afraid," said Poisons. "That's the whole point of a warning, you disgraceful softy."
"Dial back the venom, darling," Lady Feroz replied placidly. "Warning her will do no good. You know what she's like." There was a pause, and then Poisons said, with grudging agreement,
"Then we should warn the parents."
"They don't hear us."
That was the deep, gruff voice of the fantastical bestiary.
"They never do."
"We'll have to be louder. We'll have to make them hear us."
"Wait a minute." I pried one groggy eye open. "You know what she's like." That was what Lady Feroza had said. What was that supposed to mean? What did they think I was like? And what did it have to do with the mysterious thing they wanted to warn me about? I felt betrayed. These books were the ones who understood me. At least they were supposed to. They weren't supposed to be the ones who said things like, "You know what she's like," in a way that definitely didn't sound like a compliment.
"Vanya?"
The sound of my name and the hand on my shoulder brought me fully awake. I lifted my head off the pages of Good Manners, which prompted a snarky cry of,
"Oh, thank Gutenberg,"
from the book, and blinked groggily up at the tall, rumpled, geeky man standing over me, his brown eyes glinting behind his glasses.
"Hi, Dad,"
I said, stifling a yawn.
"What time is it?"
7:15.
Dad gave me a wry look. "This is the third time in a week, cherub. You can't keep sneaking down here in the middle of the night and dozing off. You'll do your neck in."
"Her neck?"
Good Manners repeated indignantly.
"What about me? Have you seen the drool she left behind?"
Dad didn't react. He and Mum never seemed to hear the books, so I pretended I couldn't hear them either. I couldn't bear to admit, even to them, that there was yet another thing about me that wasn't like everyone else.
"I like it here," I said. "Maybe if we moved all these books to my bedroom, I'd stay up there all night."
"These books," Dad said, looking amused, "are rare, priceless pieces of art, as you well know, and must stay right here in the annex. They cannot live in a 10-year-old's bedroom."
"An 11-year-old's bedroom," I reminded him.
It had only been 8 days since my 11th birthday, so Mum and Dad still slipped up out of habit.
"So it is,"